given where things stand right now, how likely is it at this point we're going to see an open or contested convention in Cleveland this summer?
You know, I think when we look at the delegate numbers today, and we're just, you know, heading into New York and Pennsylvania, which could change things drastically, you know, chances are we are going to have an open convention. And I think it's great. I think it's a lot of fun.
You mentioned New York. You mentioned Pennsylvania. How important are these remaining primaries, including Delaware's? Even if a state like Delaware only has 16 delegates at stake, how important are these now if the end game seems to be an open convention?
Well, I think they're significant. And you know, let's kind of stick with Delaware.
Yeah.
You know, Delaware has their primary the same day as Pennsylvania, Connecticut, and one or two other states. And very often, Delaware gets lost in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
Because the number of delegates that we send is 16, and it's not that significant. Most folks don't care. They do care this year. I mean, they care enough that John Kasich has invested staff from the campaign. I know his super PAC is here and has an office.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're going to see Trump has hired staff here in the state. And that makes it fun for people in Delaware. But it also means that Delaware's delegation becomes important. You know, Delaware's delegates to the National Convention, Republican National Convention, are bound on the first vote.
Right.
You know, as are most, if not all, of the delegates in Pennsylvania and Connecticut.
And just to make that clear, it means you're bound to vote for whom you've been assigned to by the vote in the primary.
That's correct. That is correct. So our delegates here in Delaware for the Republican Party are bound to vote for the winner of the April 26th primary.
And this is a winner-take-all state.
That is correct. Delaware is just a straight-up winner-take-all on the first ballot. And you know, that is significant. You know, if we're headed to an open convention, the closer a candidate gets to the magic number, 1237,
mm-hmm.
the better it's going to be. At the same time, you know, and we talk about Donald Trump sort of being the front runner.
Right.
He wants to drive that number up closer to 1237. The farther away from that magic number it is, the better the chance there is that Donald Trump won't eventually get the nomination.
It seems that these final primaries are important. Maybe not so much now that maybe the momentum of winning a primary doesn't help you as much. It's really down to just the delegate math. And perhaps more importantly, the selection of the actual physical delegates who are going to go to the convention in Cleveland. Is that become more of the game, the number of delegates and also the actual people who are going?
I think, yes, to some degree, you're right. I mean, I think the way you have to look at this is, you know, primaries and caucuses determine, for the most part, this isn't true in every state, but for the most part, determine the percentage of delegates that are obligated to vote for a candidate on the first ballot. They do not determine the actual individuals that make up that percentage. So if you look at Iowa, and you know, I'm running for president, and I get 60% of the vote, that means 60% of the individuals that are asked to be delegates have to vote for me on the first ballot. It does not mean that those people that make up that 60% actually have to be supporters of John Flugarty.
Which is what
I'm
getting at.
And that's the interesting thing. That's the really fascinating
thing. And I guess that's where it really comes down to, you know, the nuts and bolts of the mechanics of this whole thing. As you said, after that, if for some reason there's not a winner on that first ballot, now all those bound delegates are essentially unbound, correct? And now it's up to that individual person to make that choice of, okay, which way am I going to go, in, I guess, concert with obviously the rest of the delegation you're with.
Sure. And I think, you know, actually before talking about that, what's
sure.
important to understand is why it's that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, delegates to the National Convention from a state party standpoint are a way for state parties to reward volunteers,
mm-hmm.
Party leaders that volunteer a significant amount of their time to make the party function on a daily basis. So it is a compromise between bringing certainty to the process that a candidate that wins a certain state knows that they're going to get the votes that they deserve because they have won.
Right.
And the interest of the party to try to reward party loyalists.
Having said that, how does Delaware select its delegates to the convention?
Delaware, we are a very straightforward state. You know, the executive committee of the Republican Party of Delaware sits down around a table, and we've got 16 slots. Three of those slots are already taken by what we call RNC members. And for lack of putting it any better. They're kind of like superdelegates, but kind of not.
Right.
You know, our RNC delegates are the state chairman, Charlie Copeland, mm-hmm. our national committee man, Laird Stabler, and our national committee woman, Ellen Barras. So that leaves 13 additional delegates. And we divide those up a number of ways. You know, we've broken the state into five Republican regions that, you know, run from Sussex County up to Claymont. Each of those regions are allotted a certain number of delegates and alternates, and they can put whoever they want in there. There are some that go to some other party loyalists. You know, we have our two statewide officials, elected officials, Ken Simpler, state treasurer, and Tom Wagner, state auditor, are both offered a slot by virtue of the fact that they're statewide Republicans. We have, you know, some other folks that are involved with the Federation of Republican Women that are offered slots. And again, it's a way to kind of reward people for doing good works for the party. So once we kind of boil that list down to the additional 13 names, that list will go before our state convention on April 30th down in Dewey when we have our meeting for an up or down vote. So, you know, delegates will have a chance to review it, kind of kick the tires on it, and they'll vote up or down. And that's pretty much the end of it.
Is the likelihood of the vote on that slate of delegates at the convention likely to be a little bit more interesting, contentious this time around?
You know, I think it's a really interesting point, and I think it remains to be seen kind of what plays out over the next 10 days or so for us. I think in an ordinary year, the delegates to the convention would look at the proposed delegates to the Cleveland convention, and there wouldn't be a problem. I think with some of the frustration that you're seeing from the Trump campaign about sort of who these individuals are that make up this list, you know, they may try some shenanigans on the floor. It'll be interesting if that happens. The Trump campaign has been asleep at the switch in terms of delegates to the national convention. You know, as I mentioned, you kind of get two bites at this apple, your primary and caucus, and then your state convention. The Trump people, until recently, have clearly had no strategy at all for state conventions and delegate selection. And, you know, they've just kind of woken up to that fact now. And, you know, they're trying to cry a foul ball, which I think is, you know, going to backfire on them.
So having said all that, let's get to the horse race part of this right
sure.
now. Where things stand right now coming into a state like Delaware, how do you see this state setting up for the remaining candidates? Does the state play better to a Donald Trump, a Ted Cruz, or a John Kasich?
The answer is, at this point, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And the example I'm going to give you is 2012.
Okay.
If you go back to 2012, you know, I worked for Newt Gingrich
right.
in 2012, and we spent a lot of time in Delaware, a lot of
yes.
time. In fact, I always make the joke that had we kissed any more babies, somebody probably would have filed charges against us. But we took a significant loss here. You know, Mitt Romney, on the other hand, made one visit to the state, dropped one or two pieces of mail and some robocalls. And that goes to show that the northern part of the state can really make a difference in a Republican primary. If we look at Delaware, the person with the most to lose is Donald Trump. The person with the most to gain is John Kasich. This could be Kasich country. You know, Kent County and Sussex County, with Cruz and Trump, could divide the conservative vote, or the more conservative vote,
sure,
and give us an opening for John Kasich.
I was going to say, I mean, I guess northern Delaware is also an interesting place because the Pennsylvania primary is also taking place the same day. That particular part of the state is in the Philadelphia market, so they are going to get Philadelphia, Pennsylvania ad buys just because they're getting Philadelphia television stations. Does that change the equation and maybe make the need to show up here a little bit less important?
Well, I think if you're a candidate, you may think that that's the case. Mm. You know, again, in 2012, Delaware Republicans sent the message to the candidates that Delaware County is not Delaware.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we expect to see candidates in the state. Our voters and our delegates are just as important as voters and delegates in any other state. And they deserve to see the candidates, meet the candidates, hear the candidates, and kick the tires. You know, Delaware's a small state, and it's built on relationships. Politics is about relationships. You know, kind of skirting back to the convention for a second in Cleveland, you know, that's going to be the really important factor as candidates face an open convention and they look to cobble together the magic number. What Delaware's delegation does out there, I think, will be very interesting. You know, the key for Chairman Charlie Copeland is going to be to hold that delegation together so he can use them as a bargaining chip. It would be great if the chairman were able to go to whichever candidate the delegation decided and say, we will give you our 16 votes, but in return for that, you're going to come in and help strengthen the Republican Party of Delaware by helping us raise money and, you know, any one of a number of other things.
Sure. And finally, I mean, you've been at this for a while. How does this compare? Does it even compare at all to anything you've seen?
The short answer is no. But I think one of the things that I have come to understand is that there is a structure and a process by which this happens. In other words, there are rules that the party plays by when they go into a convention. And I think that if you watch television, there is this perception that if we move to an open convention, you know, delegates are going to light their hair on fire and they're going to run through the convention floor and it's going to look like the bar scene from Star Wars. And that just, I mean, that just simply isn't the case. That being said, I think it's fun to watch this unfold. I think it's going to be fun to watch the delegates go there and work. You know, we've kind of gotten into this pattern where conventions are made for TV. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's theater. And in all honesty, that is a relatively new thing. So I think it's great to see all this happen.
Drama, but maybe not the type of drama people are used to seeing.
Well, I think you're right. I think everybody likes certainty. And we like certainty in our political system. And we like to decide who the front runner is going to be and stick to it. And on both sides of the aisle this year, you know, that degree of certainty is gone. And I think it makes people nervous. It concerns folks, and they don't know what to do. And it's very difficult for people to watch this sort of stuff.